Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. It can be tough sometimes to fathom what life on Earth can be a year or more from now, much less tomorrow. But on Monday night, Nat Geographic delivers what can be termed the ultimate civilization future cast, Year Million. Executive producer Matt Renner joins me next. Also ahead, USA brings Unsolved to life, True TV's new series blitz, our classic trivia answer for the week, and American Crime, Take a Bow. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 60 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and we welcome you this Friday afternoon to the program All About Television. Hope wherever you are, you've had a terrific week. We had a great guest coming your way over the next half hour or so, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Just raise your voice, pick up the phone, and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you're shy about using the phone, that's no problem with us because we have a chat room and it is alive and going right now at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, and we would love to hear from you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Matt Renner will be live with us here in the Big Apple after these news notes. USA Network will bring Unsolved to its lineup later this year or 2018. The series dramatized a pair of police investigations of the murders of rap icons Tupac Shakur and Notorious Biggie Smalls, a.k.a. the Notorious B.I.G. Former L.A. Police Detective Greg Keating, who was involved in both investigations, will be co-executive producer. Mark Rose will play Tupac, Wavy Junez, Notorious B.I.G. American Crime Story and Underground director Anthony Hemingway, who did the pilot for Unsolved, will remain involved in the series as executive producer. Look for three new series on True TV this fall into early 2018. They are Laugh Mom's Laugh Tracks, a stand-up perspective of comedians' personal lives, At Home with Amy Sedaris, a spoof of talk variety and lifestyle programs, and Misfits and Monsters, a scripted genre anthology for Bobcat Goldthwait. Staying on the network's lineup, Adam Rules Everything, Hack My Life, Impractical Jokers, and The Carbonaro Effect. Two quickies before we get to our guest. The Blacklist will get a fifth season and reach 100 episodes on NBC, but offshoot rookie series Blacklist Redemption is a goner. And ESPN2 will launch a daily fantasy football overview this August, hosted by expert Matthew Berry. A separate fantasy series will run on ESPN2 Sunday mornings during the National Football League regular season. And that is news notes for today. Back in November, National Geographic kicked off a new era of its programming and also kicked off a new art form of television with Mars, a miniseries that was the first in its history to do hybrid, scripted, unscripted programming. It was put together with the help of a company that's won so many awards all over the place in television radical media. I'm happy to say that Mars, if you haven't heard, is coming back for a second season this fall. But starting Monday night, Radical Media and Nat Geo will partner up again on another experiment, an even more far-reaching one, in the world of hybrid script unscripted. It's called Year Million, and it premieres this Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Joining me here in New York, in an internet radio exclusive, the executive producer of the series, and the vice president of production at Nat Geo, Matt Renner. Matt, thank you for making the time. It's a pleasure to have you here.
I'm very, very excited to be here. Thank you so much for taking the time to invite us on your program. We're psyched.
It is a pleasure, Matt. How long has Year Million been in conversation before it became a series?
I think, it's a great question. Tim Pastor, president of programming around the globe, has always been fascinated about, future tech. And we've been very lucky to be in business with Radical, as mentioned, for Mars, and we started kicking around the idea about Year Million when we were actually in Budapest filming Mars, and to see what would actually look like to unpack it as a documentary series. And so for several months, we sort of started to imagine and dream and put together a group of, you know, really, really, really extraordinarily bright minds around the world to say, well, you know we probably can't predict, you know, this Friday's election, but, you know, with the kind of technology that is at our disposal now, what could we extrapolate out into the future? What would it look like? And most importantly, what does it mean to be human now? And what will it mean to be human, you know, 100 years from now, 200, 500,000, 500,000, a million years out? And so, you know, that inspired us to really take a deep dive, and we're very excited. I mean, it's been almost a year, frankly, in the making, and we're ready to release it.
Is there a universal conclusion that you found from all the people you spoke with, or how the series is scripted, that suggests what exactly we will, or somewhat, what kind of society, what kind of civilization, what kind of world we have at the million mark?
You know, well, so it's again, another very good question. I think the largest takeaway is that we asked a group of futurists and, you know, folks who have been at the forefront of inventing some of the most impressive technology. Ray Kurzweil, for example, and his achievement in artificial intelligence. And he could, in an interview, he'd sort of tell you, look, if you ask, you know, a bunch of bright minds about what the future looks like in the 1800s, they would probably be able to predict a few hundred years out. If you ask those group of minds in the mid-1950s, maybe they could predict 100 years out. Now, because technology on the course that we're developing is so dramatically, you know, steep and exciting, and that the growth is exponential, that it really is very difficult to see what the world looks like, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 years out. However, if we were to imagine, you know, what artificial intelligence will do for us, as it's sort of the root technology for, you know, everything, for the way that, you know, will allow us to, you know, live a very, 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 very long life, for the way that will allow us to explore into the far reaches of our own solar system and universe. You know, and so anyway, artificial intelligence was one of many ideas that I think inspired those deep thinkers, and then we put the pool of futurists together, and, like, you know, comic book writers and, you know, folks who spend a living dreaming in this space of year million, because and they kind of defined the far flung future as year million. So it might not be a milestone per se as an actual literal year million, but it's that space that allows them to dream, you know, and imagine, and which is ultimately being defined by the comic book writers. So, but the biggest takeaway is that it's a crazy, unimaginable world in the future. And we are going to transform in so many different ways that it's almost impossible to imagine.
When you do a series like this that has both elements of scripted and unscripted, in the case of scripted, I understand that it's about a human family and how it evolves and how it faces at year million what's going on around them. What comes first? Do you do the scripted first, the scenario, and then you bring it to the experts that you talk to, or do you go to the experts first, get the unscripted out of the way, and then that impacts what the script is all about?
What we do is intensive research, you know, first. And, you know, we decided that we wanted to interrogate, you know, probably 6 to 7 different themes. You know, everything from an AI, I mean, that's a technology more so, but, you know, what it means to be human was the sort of root thesis for all of the episodes. So what does it mean to be human through the eyes of an AI? What does it mean to be human when, you know, we live for hundreds of years? What does it mean to be human when we live as in a digital existence, when we discard our bodies and actually live in a microchip? What does it mean to be human when we transcend, you know, what we now know as communication, and we are all one singular hive mind, you know? And what will it mean to be human when we are you know, we're basically acting like it's like an episode of Star Trek when we're going to the far reaches of the universe to settle. So that research comes first, and then we decided that we would try to find those emotional tipping points in the future where a technology will become, you know, intimate in our lives, and we're going to have to make a certain choice. And we won't, again, contemplate, it's hard to contemplate those choices now, but for example, our first episode, you know, contemplates, you know, a tragic accident right from the onset. It's a high-stake, you know, moment. And, you know, as of now, when you're in an accident, you know, we have those little, you know, choice to have to be a donor, you know, on our license. And should something horrible happen to us, we get to say, no, we'll donate our organs and we'll go out to benefit, you know, men, women, children, and hopefully we can allow those people to live. Well, there will be a choice in the near future where there's an accident that happens, a robot will come over, will scan your brain, upload your brain into an AI robot that will look, feel, emote just like that person you lost, and you carry on as if that person never was lost. And it's a pretty chilling idea and concept to think that part of your family could be a fully fledged AI robot or android.
We're speaking with Matt Renner. He is the executive producer of Year Million, and it premieres this coming Monday night, May 15th, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on National Geographic. He is with us live from New York, where he serves also as vice and production of the channel. And he's with us this half hour right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum, you're live from New York. Delighted you're with us on this wonderful Friday afternoon. 6 degrees, beautiful set right now outside the New York metro area. I hope all is great where you are. And if you have a question or comment for Matt, give us a ring at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. AXTV, the multicast channel that has been serving multicultural and millennial Latinos, marks 10 years on the air this month. And Monday on Tomorrow Televised will join in the celebration with its chief operating officer, who's been on the program before, Luca Benvoglio. It's Luca Benvoglio from LATV live with us. Plus, NBC announced its new fall lineup that morning, and Fox will have its schedule for the fall that afternoon. We will have the recap of both situations, NBC and Fox's fall lineup, during our program. It's all coming your way live Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Don't miss it. Matt Lawrence Fishburne plays an interesting role in this series. He's not just a narrator. He does a lot more. Tell us more about how he got involved.
Well, you know, we were all sort of, you know, generating ideas on, you know, who would be the best, you know, communicator of these, you know, wacky stories. And sitting around a room in the headquarters in D.C. amongst, you know, we were just watching early cuts of the show, and someone mentioned, hey, what about, you know, Morpheus? And I think it was one of those, whoa. Yeah, let's see if Morpheus from The Matrix could participate, you know. We were able to, you know, reach out to him, and he's been amazing. I think what's been so fun is just to have him, you know, work with the content, and, you know, he narrates the picture, and as he's narrating, you know, he's watching, you know, so the stories unfold and is reacting almost in real time, which, again, gives a very sort of, I think, informal voice to the show, and also playful and fun, because you need that kind of levity as you're wading through some pretty, you know, dense material at times.
Mm-hmm. Talk about also some of the experts that you have on this program. Some of them, people in the science world, will know very, very well. But then you've also mixed them up with people that are in the pop culture world. People like, of course, the founder of Talking Heads, musician and Bobby Boss, if you will, David Byrne, graphic novelist Brian Michael Bendis, the co-host of Nerdist, Matt Mira. People that you would not necessarily associate with things scientific.
Yeah, this was a great, again, this is, I think, a compliment to the storytelling team at Radical. you know, because they populated the room with folks like Ray Kurzweil, Peter Diamandis, you know, founder of XPRIZE, Brian Greene, Michio Kaku. Those are sort of have been the go-to, you know, big thinkers. We were very fortunate to speak with Peter and some other folks while we were developing Mars, and so we had a chance to sort of say, okay, this is the future. Here, we're going to put a little pen around you guys and just dream big. But we also felt that it was necessary to have the every man, every woman voice reacting to some of these really big ideas. So if you were to ladder down, you start with this really big idea that might be unpacked by, you know, Brian Greene or Ray Kurzweil, and then you have a very tangible, you know, rung that sort of anchors us into something that we understand. And then you have someone like, you know, a Matt Mira or Brian Michael Bendis bring a lot of levity into the moment, saying, I wouldn't want to do that, or that's got to be exciting. You know, so you, because you're reacting almost like Mystery Science, you know, 2000, you're watching this insane story unfold and you're on the couch and you want to say, I don't believe any of that. And these folks actually chime in as our voice of our audience. And we felt that that was necessary because the content, again, is so dense and heady. It also gives a lot of life to the storytelling, you know. It's fun. This is not meant for the 400-level class, you know, in physical chemistry. This series is meant for our every man, every woman audience. And it might scare you, you know what I mean, because the concepts are so crazy. But it also is got a really cool aspirational element to it, you know. And that's what is, you know, we see that through the eyes of Kurzweil, Diamandis, Brian Greene, Michio, and even our folks like David Byrne, you know, and Matt Mira. They bring us some comfort, because at the end of the day, it's not a dystopic series. It's like this could go wrong here, but here's the cost, you know, net gain or the benefit to us as we, you know, drive a little bit more deeply in the future. And this is how we'll become, you know, this is how we'll better manage our resources. This is how we might, you know, drive an end to global warming. You know, so there's some interesting ideas that we tackle. So
on the scripted side, it's taking a look at how this million year deals with a American family, so then every family, if you will. How do they deal, or how does the storyline with them progress? I understand that part of the storyline deals with the fact that they have a daughter who is not natural birth, if you will. She's an android. And
right.
That figures a lot in where the story goes.
Totally. And again, as I mentioned before, you know, it's about, you know, each episode really unpacks a theme. And so if you were to lay out all six episodes on a timeline, we see this family, you know, slam face-to-face with the technology, you know, over the next, you know, 500,000 years, ultimately into what we're calling is the year million space. And the family, again, is just how they react to the new potential choices that people will have. The first time, for example, you know, you've got a husband and a wife and a daughter who's AI, and imagine you know, you're married and your wife tells you one day, hey, look, I want to live a life, you know, in a digital existence. I want to shed my body, and I want to live in a space where I can just imagine anything I want, and I'm connected with everybody, and there's no pain, there's no death. You know, so how do you feel about that, and will you join me? And not every husband or father will say, that's a great idea, I'm all in. You know, I think it's going to take that, you know, holy cow, this is real. I'm going to lose my wife to a video game. But the video game actually isn't just a regular video game, it's real life. So that's an example of how we see using, you know, this family as, you know, a device to show you a potential choice that our descendants will face.
The first episode of Year Million happens this coming Monday night, May 15th, Ides of May, if you will. That's 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on National Geographic. And we've got one of the key people behind the program, Matt Brenner. He's the executive producer. He's also vice president of production for the network. And he's with us live here in New York. This half hour on tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live from the Big Apple on Blog Talk Radio. Have a question or comment from Matt? Don't be shy. Use that phone at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Tuesday night, this coming week here in New York, an amazing event at the Made in New York Media Center in Brooklyn. It's called Stareable. It's going to be an ongoing showcase for new television and new web programs. And this Monday here in the New York area on BK Live, the weekly and daily series on Brick TV, I'll be joined by a couple of people who are going to be showcased at the first Stareable this coming Tuesday night. So I hope you'll join them and me Monday at noon, local time, on Brick TV's BK Live. Now, the Emmy Award-winning BK Live just won a New York Area Emmy Award this past Sunday for one of its segments. That's, again, 12 noon, high noon, on Brick TV. And if you want to join in on the program from anywhere in the country, you can do so at www.brickartsmedia.org or catch us later on at www.youtube.brickTV. www.youtube.com/brick, BRICTV. Matt, what does your program say about where communication goes, where television, where radio, where virtual reality goes? It's very interesting that this series is coming on at a time where we're now convinced that the majority of the American public now have smart TV sets and smart devices that allow them to do anything but watch the web programs, watch services like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, and if you have Apple TV, which we are on, to sort of be blunt about it, you can order pizza from Papa John's, order tickets from StubHub, watch video games, order merchandise from or services from Airbnb and the likes of Go Group.
It's a great question. So I think the idea ultimately is about, you know, escapism, and we really tried to tackle that because, you know, from the first time that we all huddled around a fire to escape the pressures of the world, and there might not be the crazy pressures, but when we started telling stories, you know, storytelling was what we sort of like, okay, we're going to escape to that. The advent of the radio, you know, families huddling around the radio to escape their you know, their lives, going to a baseball game, you know, or taking in an opera over the radio. Then the television, it's like TV dinners. And so if you track that, you know, we are now, as you point out, at that sort of this cutting edge of technology of virtual reality and augmented reality. And I think that, you know, it's one of those things that it's not yet realistic enough. Our brain can get tricked, you know, certainly, and we show you, and David Byrne actually participates in this episode as he runs this really interesting study. But he shows us that our brain can be tricked, you know, to the extent that we could almost smell, we can almost taste. We definitely can see another world, and we're almost there, but we're not there yet. When technology, you know, evolves to a place where people describe what's called the metaverse, where you will literally, there's two stages. You'll plug in somehow, and that universe will feel and look like everything that is around you. You know, every once in a while, there might be some digital hiccup, and it all gets back to your question about communication, is that there is this investment of wanting to, you know, figure out a way to be closer to people. And by doing that, you're breaking down all the barriers. And the next step is going into Metaverse 2.0, which is when literally everything is crisp as it is now. You look around, and you discard your body. So you're living in this, you know, this computer, effectively. This is the sort of the part where that far-flung future, our individuality is going to dramatically change, and we're going to want to sort of figure out how do I break down barriers, like language is going to become more universal, and perhaps we'll all be communicating with one brain in what's called a hive mind. So that's the general direction that we go. It sort of first starts about what does it mean to be, you know, tighter and closer in a digital universe, and then we get into some more wacky spaces like, you know, hive minds.
And the fun thing, Matt, is that right now, at this point in 2017, we have no idea what the capacity or the capability, the ultimate in both, is going to be for these smart TV sets and smart devices that now, according to the Interactive Ad Bureau and Nielsen, now say it's around anywhere between 55 to 60%. And it looks like the public is getting into this more than, as we've said in recent weeks, than the journalists are or the TV industry is or whatever. And it's something to definitely be following a lot more closely than it is. Final question, Matt. This is your second effort at hybrid scripted, unscripted. And Mars is coming back, as I mentioned, this fall. Are you getting a lot of pitches now, a lot of proposals from people who want to do this kind or this unique hybrid genre of television? And where do you see this going? Not just from Nat Geo, but whether other people decide to also adapt this art form?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And yes, we've definitely been seeing more, I think, you know, from producers and storytellers alike that, you know, want to start to interrogate what does a hybrid look like? You know, how can we anchor in something that's authentic and real, yet push a dramatic narrative forward? Mars was such a wonderfully challenging experience, and I think with the combination of Imagine, Ron Howard, Brian Grazer, and the team over Radical, and, you know, the team here at the channel, to try to crack the code of what that weave looks like, you know, and how does drama speak to documentary, and how does documentary speak to drama? And I think that it's ultimately, you know, the substance of what we're trying to unpack will dictate the style and the format. And we've seen some really really provocative stories that have come in that do contemplate both, you know, the doc and drama. And I do see this as a very interesting genre that we've busted. And it to some extent, it's just a matter of how do we keep the momentum going and how do you keep engagement, because you're ultimately speaking to several different kinds of audience, you know, and you want to be able to keep your scripted audience engaged during documentary. You want to keep your documentary audience engaged during scripted. So I think it's definitely a highly calibrated balance of storytelling, but really fun to explore.
The program is Year Million. It is the second effort into hybrid scripted unscripted television by National Geographic, the first one being Mars, which was a huge success here in the United States and worldwide last November, coming back again this fall. And Year Million, the first episode of 6, premieres this coming Monday night, May 15th, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your locals for where Nat Geo is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program and the network online, here's where you go, www.natgeotv.com. It's www.natgeotv.com. Once again, the premiere is Monday, May 15th, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, narrated by Lawrence Fishburne. Matt Rennert, thank you again for joining us. A pleasure to have you with us for the very first time. I hope you come back again soon. And all the best to you, not only with this series, but also, I might add, with Genius. You mentioned Ron Howard, Brian Grazer, we mentioned before. Great effort with that series. And that's coming back for a second season. And so far, great. Anyway, all the best to you and everyone in your crew. This, I think, is going to be a Year Million, a very provocative series, and hopefully more to come with that.
Well, thank you very much, and all the best to you. We love your show, and thank you for being a strong communicator. It's awesome.
It's a pleasure, Matt. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, you too.
Matt Renner from National Geographic joining us live here in New York. More Matt of Tomorrow Tale Live coming your way after some words from the fine people at Audible.com. If you're a Big Bang Theory fan, or if not, you might be interested in a new book that's come out by one of its popular cast members, Mayim Bialik. I remember her from Blossom. Well, she's got a wonderful book, and it's getting up the charts, called Girling Up. And you can read the book and hear her at the same time. How? With a subscription to Audible.com. All you need to do is go to this site, audibletrial.com/televised. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment information and, yes, inspiration. With over 180,000 titles to choose from, every genre represented and then some. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook like My Embarrassed Girling Up and a 1 month trial of service. And you know, because Audible's from audible.com, you can bet the customer service is right up there in the universe. So do yourself a favor. Check out what great sound you're missing with audibletrial.com/televised and find out why audible.com will transform the way you hear the world. When we come back, the answer to this week's Crime and Trivia question, and take a bow, American crime, I'll have a comment. That's all coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Down on the Farm with Tommy Lee Moffitt. Check it out Fridays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, to have before we go on the air right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best BTR is available to you 24/7 at youtube.com. And our show and other BTR favorites can be yours at iTunes.com and on Apple TV's iTunes podcast. Remember, Apple TV gives you our program and other shows through their iTunes podcast app, and that's also available 24/7. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Welcome back to the Marvin Televised for this Friday afternoon, the 12th of May, 2017. Simon Apple Band with you live from the Big Apple, 60 degrees at the top of the hour. Coming up, a comment about American crime, which invites all of us to take a bow with them. But first, it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We got the answer for you today. And here was the question we posed at the top of the week. Name the first host on Frontline. Name the first host of Frontline when that show premiered nearly 35 years ago in 1983. The answer, the late newscaster, Jessica Savage. That's right, Jessica Savage was the first host of Frontline during its first season in 1983. Sad to say, because of an auto accident, she passed away. The following year, Judy Woodruff took over. She is now one of the co-hosts of PBS NewsHour, co-anchors to that series. And she was in Frontline, involved Frontline for a few years, and then the show decided to adopt a narrator format as opposed to having a live host. And that narrator format has been taken up mostly by the wonderful voice talent of Will Lyman, who still does it to this day. And again, Frontline will have its 30th anniversary in January of 2018. I hope we can do something on it around that time. So once again, the winning answer is Jessica Savage of Frontline. We should tell you that somebody did get that answer earlier today, and that person has won a few weeks ago. So we're inviting that person to give us the name and mailing address of a friend that would love to have our prize for this week, and that's Fantagraphic In the Womb DVD. And as soon as we find out who that person will be, we'll let you know, hopefully, on Monday's episode. And once again, Fantagraphic In the Womb DVD has some wonderful bonus features, including a prenatal development timeline. Well, a new class trivia question for you on Monday's show. If you know the answer, after we post it, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And don't forget to include your name when you give the answer and your full mailing address. So if you win, we get the prize to you right away. And we'll let you know what the prize is on Monday's show, okay? So once again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you missed Monday's show, you can still participate. Don't worry, because I will post the question on my Facebook page and also on Twitter at my handle at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So get involved. A lot of people have, and they've won for that reason, and all the very best. It's been a very difficult 48 hours for a lot of current shows on broadcast television. Many of their producers and creators and directors and talent have been by their phones to find out from ABC, CBS, NBC, the CW, and Fox whether or not they're going on this fall for another year. And for a lot of those shows, it's been getting the answer, no, you're not. And for some, it can be traumatic, whether you are a show that was only on this season as a rookie, maybe on a couple of years, maybe 5-6 years or more. Well, this comment is about one of those programs that got the call of being axed last night, American Crime. For the last three seasons, ABC has had a tremendous, groundbreaking series in John Ridley's creation, a series that focused on tough issues that we all, one way or the other, deal with. And maybe the biggest issue of all, maybe the American crime, is our inability sometimes to talk to each other, to listen to each other, to understand each other, no matter what race or gender or class or background we come from. And that message was hammered over and over again in some of the most intense drama that broadcast television has ever presented. Thanks to Ridley, co-executive producer Michael J. McDonald, who was on this program a few weeks ago, and other wonderful talents like Julie Abair, Marietta Taub, Keith Huff, Diana Song, and a group of wonderful writers and first-time television makers coming from the world of independent film. Not to mention a terrific cast that many times will be back for season after season, led by Felicity Huffman, Emmy Award winner twice over Regina King, Timothy Hutton, Benito Martinez, whose performance this year as a migrant worker should definitely be up for any consideration in the Best Actor Drama category, and many, many more. And I'd also introduce this to some wonderful new talents by Connor Jessup and Richard Cabral, who we will definitely hear more of in the future. There's no need to cry, I think, about American Crime, because by existing for three seasons, it did its job. It showed us that broadcast television is willing, is able to showcase intimate, challenging, personal drama. Drama about issues. Drama about subject matter that hasn't been touched in a very long time, if not in some cases ever, on the broadcast networks. And to do it with one of the most diverse production teams in recent television history, anywhere. In its first season, American Crime received 10 Emmy nominations, won a few, including for Regina King's performance in the Best Supporting Actress category. Also, it was nominated this year and received the finalist citation in the Peabody Awards. I still can't understand why it didn't win the Peabody, and I hope it will finally next spring. But as I said, you don't need to cry about American Crime because American Crime did its job. It reached an audience. And I can tell you that the audience for that show, if you heard our interview with Michael McDonald, really got this program. And as Felicity Huffman said a few weeks ago at an event in Los Angeles, if the show doesn't go to season four, and there was a shot that it would have, ABC was trying as late as yesterday to see if a six-episode fourth season could be possible, despite the lowest ratings of the show's history. That the show had already triggered a nerve in its audience and in the ability of more shows to happen. Because American Crime, in her mind, has cleared the way for more such programs. And I hope that will be the legacy of this series. And I hope it will be the legacy of John Ridley, who has burst into television just the way he really burst in with his brilliant Oscar-winning screenplay for 12 Years a Slave. He is definitely a one-of-a-kind person. And what he has done the last 3 years on ABC has been magnificent, from opening episode to the final one a few weeks ago. And let's say something about ABC. Give them tremendous credit. Give Paul Lee, the former head of ABC Entertainment, and the person now in that chair, Chang Gay, tremendous credit because despite the falling ratings, they stayed with this show for three seasons. They didn't have to. They could cut it after the first year or even last year. But they realized that they were getting a very special audience, and that's why they stayed with the show for three seasons. And let's also credit every single national advertiser that put their ad on American Crime. They put their ad in some very tough material. And they put their ad in some very experimental material. I still remember from last year the 5.5 minute single shot, no editing, at the end of that one episode with a marvelous brilliant dance performance by a group out of Texas. And then the following episode, weaving in the plot with actual interviews with people who've lived through the experience of sexual harassment or dealing with the after effects of gun violence in schools like Columbine. Or in one very moving case, a transgender teenager who thought about committing suicide and at the very last possible moment said, "No, that's not the way I want to go. There is more to life than taking life." And every advertiser who was in every episode, should be congratulated for being part of that program. On Miss American Crime, I enjoyed the program. For me, it is the best, one of the greatest series ABC's ever put together. It's best program, I think, since NYPD Blue, and one of the great landmarks of recent television. And again, the legacy will be who follows up. That American Crime is not going to be one show that had a fairly okay life for 3 years on a broadcast network. That we will see the door open for more people, starting with the people who worked on that series, to do more drama and comedy that does more than just entertain. It inspires, it provokes, it challenges, it touches us right in the gut and punches us right in the gut and says to us as a society, let's do greater. Let's transform the condition we have now. And that transformation starts with us communicating and hearing each other and respecting that communication and respecting who we are, no matter where the other person comes from, and finding that common ground that we can work from. Now, American Crime, 3 wonderful years, wonderful performances, incredible production, groundbreaking storytelling. Take that bow. You more than earned it. And from everyone from John Ridley on down, bravo for what you did. Thank you for giving us a new vision of television and hopefully sending off a new wave of storytelling that ultimately will result in a better nation and a more understanding world. And if we do that, then maybe we have solved the real American crime that was at the heart of this series. Again, I want to thank Matt Renner from Year Million and National Geographic for joining us today. Coming Monday on Tomorrow Televised, we'll join in the celebration, the 10-year celebration of LATV. It started as a regional music network, MTV style, aimed at Latinos, and over the last 10 years, it's become a national multicast service. It's multicultural, original, and dynamic. And one of the key people behind it, he's been on the program before, the Chief Operating Officer of LATV, Luca Benevoglio. Also, NBC will be announcing its fall season lineup that morning at Radio City Music Hall. We'll have the details for you, and we'll open the details just before Fox introduces its fall season lineup that afternoon. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode or want to catch up on episodes you missed, we make it very easy for you. Just go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, we're always available 24/7 on podcast at iTunes.com, and you can catch our show and other Blog Talk Radio programs on Apple TV through their iTunes podcast app. Either way, download it to your smartphone or tablet or other electronic device, and make sure you share it with others. We really appreciate it. And that's why we've had so far nearly 2,000 replays of our show this month alone. So thank all of you for checking out our replays. Also, check out my columns about the world of television. You'll find them at MediaVillage.com, the well and entertaining website on media analysis and commentary founded by our good friend Jack Myers, with wonderful comments by Charlene Weiser, E.B. Ross, Stuart Elliott, Ed Martin, and more. That's MediaVillage.com, also available for you 24/7. We love hearing from you, so email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. I do return emails in 24 hours. Really appreciate what you have to say. Love to hear what you thought about our guest today. What's your thoughts about where we might be as a planet, as a nation, a million years on Earth? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at, where it's going? And if you want to be really speculative, where TV might be at year million. So use that email, or you can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. We're over 16,000 Twitter tweets today, and I appreciate the over 600 followers that join us every day on Twitter. And we had a few more join us today, and really, really appreciate it. So, again, that's at UBC Simons, TWBT. That's at UBC Simons, TWBT. Remember, the email you can use for our Class 3 question of the week, we really appreciate it. Also, we do a thing called the show to know from time to time. If there's a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention, well, we want to give it the attention, but we need to hear from you. So email me or follow me on Facebook or Twitter, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you will get the credit. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBC Simons TWBT. That's UBC Simons TWBT. However you communicate is appreciated. Why? Because what you say matters. That's why we've been around for nearly 10 years and hopefully around a long time more. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toth, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Before Lives is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a 30-day trial on free audiobook, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Before Lives, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. We're back on Monday with LATV, NBC, and Fox's fall lineup, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. And here in New York, also Monday at noon on BK Live on Brick TV and later at youtube.com/BrickTV. Remember, be safe and be great out there no matter where you're going. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.